Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota Brookhaven services all makes and models. That could be why we were voted best service department the past 2 years. Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota Brookhaven, we deliver.
All right, welcome in, you Night Owls, to this late edition of the Rev War Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. A busy day in Ole Miss sports. Mostly good, and then a little bit of bad, but mostly good for Ole Miss as they get a trio of portal pickups today, one in football, two in basketball, and also the baseball team suffered a... It's a punishing loss, and how punishing, we'll have to see, but their RPI fell five spots today, did Ole Miss's RPI. Five spots today, and that is a problem when you're talking about this team and the possibility of hosting or working their way into being a national seed. Losing games like this one can absolutely impact that resume, as you saw it today. So their last two midweek games, now they won one of them, but their last two midweek games, they have fallen eight spots in the RPI combined after these two games. Now, look, they can turn around and win a bunch of games and it would be great, but that's a punitive loss. So we'll talk about all that on this edition of the show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Wherever you get your podcast, by the way, search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And don't forget the podcast feed. Don't forget the podcast feed. I know that sometimes these are, missed or inconsistent or whatever. So anytime a new show is uploaded, wherever you get your podcast, just, again, search the show and you'll never miss a second. Before we get into all of that, though, I also want to tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's their website. They're in right off of exit 40 there. In Brookhaven, it is an outstanding car buying experience from people that will take care of you like a person instead of just another dollar sign. They've got a service department. It's open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Any make or model, you don't have to have a Toyota to have them take care of you. One of the best rated service departments in all of Mississippi. And, of course, the deals. They've got interest rates as low as 1.99% on in-stock new Tundras. I've got a promo code. Tell them I sent you. Get $1,000 off on me. Just tell them that I sent you $1,000 off on me before anything else at Toyota Brookhaven. They will deliver. So let's start with football. Let's start with football. Ole Miss has added a quarterback who's got one of the greatest names that you've ever heard. Trinidad Chamblee. I hope it's not Chambliss. I hope it's Chamblee. I hope it is because that's even cooler. But Trinidad was an All-American at Ferris State, the Division II Ferris State, threw for almost 3,000 yards and 26 touchdowns, but ran for another 1,000 and 25 touchdowns on the ground. He's clearly very, very athletic. If you look at his highlight tapes and stuff, because I don't know how much of Ferris State football you watch. To be honest, I watched their national championship game a little bit, but not really. But he's clearly athletic and a guy that can move and has some arm talent as well. A very quality backup. This is absolutely a very quality backup. And of course, the question is, you know, why do they sign a quarterback in the spring portal? I thought that, you know, they had a few in the building. Well, one of them's hurt right now. He had a cast on his hand during Meet the Rebels Day, but they needed another body anyway. And I think, you know, you don't have to be a rocket science to do 1+1 math sometimes. And I think it's clear if they went out and added somebody like this in the spring portal, they weren't thrilled possibly about their options behind Austin Simmons. We got a few texts on the radio show today about this. One person asked if this was like a Spencer Sanders situation for Simmons. And then another that stood out to me was because I called him. I said that exact thing, that this is a quality backup. Now, the jump from Division II to the SEC is rather significant, right? It's a really big jump. And the athletes all around you are much faster and the windows are tighter as a quarterback and things like that. So who knows how he'll handle that jump if given the opportunity. But somebody said, well, how do you know that this is just a backup? How do you know that they're not signing him to start? Because I straight up said this is a really quality backup option for Austin Simmons. He kind of knows the deal. You would assume he knows the deal anyway, that this is Simmons' team, but you're one snap, one play away from being the guy possibly. And I think he's athletic enough to possibly be used in some packages and things like that. I don't think that this is, to the one guy's question, the Spencer Sanders situation. This is very clearly Austin Simmons' football team. That doesn't mean that you don't try to make the room better. It doesn't mean that he doesn't need quality backups. But, and I'm not just basing that off of the one Georgia drive, as another texter suggested on the radio show today. It's Austin Simmons' football team. Everybody knows that, including this player. And kudos to him for wanting to be a part of it anyway. You get a nice payday. I assume he's getting a pretty good payday. And he'll have some opportunities to play, especially in the non-conference games if they keep going the way they're going. But I think it's abundantly clear that it's a situation in which they don't really love what they've got behind Austin Simmons. And again, as you guys know, you're one play away from being up a creek at the quarterback position. So this is not anything to read into beyond that. It's just as simple as they needed a quality backup. There was one available in the portal and they got him, and he's really athletic. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him some this year. I really wouldn't be surprised if you see some of him this year. But anyway, I mean, look at all these comments. Austin Simmons, not who they thought he was. Ferris State, be for real. Austin Simmons pushed out again. It's wild. A Ferris State's a powerhouse day one starter. Somebody being sarcastic. I mean, the comments on this are pretty wild. Anyway, sorry, I'm tired. It's late. The other portal news of the day: Chris Beard. Everybody going into today, there were a lot of people that were just straight up freaking out about the lack of portal additions for Ole Miss. And look, I understand where that was coming from. Guys that they were targeting were going elsewhere. Other schools were signing players and filling up their classes, and Ole Miss going into today only had one player. But I think the idea of they had to rush, and by they, I mean everybody had to rush to get in before the house settlement, was a little overblown. It was never getting approved on May 7th or whatever the day was, and the judge might not even approve it at all because there was some back and forth and things that she didn't like, and they didn't make a single change to the things that she suggested that they should change, she being the judge. So it might not even get approved. Who knows? But the timeline clearly was not as fast as people initially thought it would be. And that's evidenced by Ole Miss's pair of pickups today. A.J. Storr is an interesting one. That was the first commitment that happened today. He was at Kansas this past year. He was really good at Wisconsin the year prior. He's a 6'7 guard. He's really athletic. Only 6 points per game this year, but was a 17 points per game guy for Wisconsin a year before this one. So I guess 2 years ago, but a year ago. Was Storr. This will be his eighth team in 8 years, I think, dating back to high school. So that there's obviously some concerns there about the ability to settle in and acclimate. The whole situation at Kansas this year was really weird. They brought in a Mississippi State transfer as well that couldn't really impact that team. And I mean, it just kind of felt like nobody worked right at Kansas. Storr is very talented. There's a reason he's a well-known name in college basketball. The talent's absolutely there. Mark Adams and Chris Beard are going to have to unlock some effort defensively. I know the highlights have a couple of really flashy defensive plays, especially in the tournament in which he played really heavy minutes for Kansas. But apparently that's the knock on him, is he has not been consistent in effort defensively. those two guys, if they can't get it out of somebody, then nobody can. Those are the two best people that you can have possibly in college basketball to unlock quality defense from a guy as athletic as him. But it's a good pickup. It's a very talented basketball player for sure. It makes a lot more sense at Ole Miss this year than it did Kansas this past year when it comes to fit and what they're going to ask him to do. And he's got the size. I mean, again, a 6'7" guard. They're very clearly going after longer, more athletic players this year in the portal, and Store is a good one. They also got Karen Johnson. I believe I'm saying his name correctly. A 6'2 guard. He was at Louisville this year, Washington before that. Simply put, got hurt this year. He's only played in two games, got hurt, and could not impact for that Louisville team. But he was, I think, sixth man of the year right out of the Pac-12 last season. He played 31 games at Washington, was 11 points per game, and made 37% of his threes, which is very important. Also, three assists per game and just 24 minutes on average per game. So really good. Pretty efficient numbers from him as well. So unfortunate that you didn't get a full season of him out of Louisville. And we'll see what he's able to do at Ole Miss. I assume, I could be wrong, I assume this is somebody that's going to kind of fill a role of coming off the bench. I don't think that this is a starter, but it just kind of depends on what else they can do in the portal. But so far, they've got three pickups. They've added length. They've added some experience as well. The portal class is shaping up nicely right now, and we'll see who else they can add here in the coming days. They're doing a lot of visitors, or they're bringing in a lot of visitors. They're doing a lot of portal recruiting, and we'll see what they can add moving forward. But so far, the class looks solid. So far, you have to like the vision. It makes sense. All three additions make a lot of sense. Roster construction was a big question last season, understandably so. This one is starting to look like it makes a lot more sense. We'll see. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you're a Mississippi business, for any and all of your Mississippi office technology needs, tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. It is an interesting day in baseball. Now, we had a lot of fun joking around on the radio show about Kids Day and how you got to cancel Kids Day. It's just a house of horrors for Ole Miss. Tim Elko tears his ACL on Kids Day, and you lose that game too. You lose to Little Rock today. It's baseball. Sometimes you lose weird midweek games. It happens. I understand it. But now that this is their third one, and last week, they didn't benefit at all from playing Alcorn, and we talked about that on the show a good bit. I don't know if we did here or not, but that game was a waste of everybody's time. They can't do this anymore. There's two more midweek games. Not counting the Mississippi State one, which won't hurt them if they lose, but they can't make a habit out of this, because now their RPI is sitting at 17. If they win enough games, they'll end up being all right from a hosting perspective. But this is the kind of loss, paired with Alcorn dropping them three and then losing the South Alabama game, that can be the difference between being a national seed and not, or even being a host and not being a host. You can kind of roll your eyes and dismiss midweek games if you lose the occasional one. But when you saw the impact that this loss to a Little Rock team that's, over 200 in the RPI, you can't just ignore it. It is a consequential loss from that perspective. Can they recover from it? Of course. I mean, go win two this weekend, beat Vanderbilt twice, and you're fine. You're back on track. But those two midweek losses paired with the Alcorn game can absolutely be the difference between being a national seed and not, or even hosting and not. So that was a very bad loss. And, you know, the Tuesday after the Tennessee series, probably not the best spot for the Kids Day game anyway. But probably a little hungover. Probably could have stood to play tomorrow instead of today. But that's a tough loss, and it could ultimately cost them. We will see if it will. First comment is, I think the baseball team was awful for Ole Miss, no doubt. Little Rock is 255 in the RPI.
Yeah.
Shout out to the amount of non-ball knowers who think Chamblee is going to be the new starting quarterback. Yeah, no kidding. It's Austin Simmons' team. It was his team from the second Jackson Dart declared for the NFL draft. It was always his team. Baseball had the kind of loss that a potential host simply cannot have, might force them to win another SEC game than necessary. Absolutely, it could. It absolutely could force them to have to go win another game because of the RPI hit. It's people, I think, are too dismissive of midweek games. Am I going to watch the Grizz tonight? I'll put it on when we're done here, and we'll be done soon. I know it's late. Sorry, guys. It just something came up that I had to attend to. This that these night streams are getting more and more difficult as little man's getting a little older, and just more things are getting thrown my way. It's not, you guys don't care. I'm not looking for sympathy or anything, but there's been a lot of weight on my shoulders lately, and I'm struggling to kind of figure it all out, you know. So one day at a time, just trying to take it one day at a time, but sometimes things get in the way. People were panicking about basketball portal recruiting, but I think some of that has been quelled for now. And for now, until 48 hours go by without another pickup and people lose their minds again. But look, I understand why. Others were getting players, and so you're looking around and thinking, well, they are, so why aren't we? You know, I understand that. And fans are passionate, and people wanted to take the high of the Sweet 16 and turn that into immediate momentum, but that's just not how they've operated. But it looks like things are starting to take shape for sure. Thoughts on all the interconference transferring in SEC basketball? I think the volume of transferring is just unfortunate. It really is. I know that, like, two things can be true at once. I know why they're able to transfer. It's not their fault. Players should be compensated. The NCAA shouldn't be allowed to restrict player movement without collective bargaining, all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, the volume of it in basketball is just nuts. I mean, it really is. You've got a former Ole Miss player today who went to Florida State and now is at Arkansas, and now a former Mississippi State player is at Auburn. And so everybody's just bouncing around. And I mean, you know what happens in football too, right? I mean, Arkansas is certainly helping Ole Miss in football this year with transfers, but there's no solution right now. There's no solution because people like Greg Sankey will not do what's necessary. Instead, they're going to beg Congress for help, because Congress most definitely is going to do what's right by college sports. And so this is what you get. And I don't know how you can sit back as a league and think that this is okay. It's not. But they've allowed this by not only not getting out ahead of it, but now that it's here, not doing what needs to be done. The repeated begging of Congress to do something is ridiculous. It really is. It's the thing I hate the most about the current state of college football. It's not the transfers or college sports. It's not the transfers. It's not the money. It's hearing the leaders of these conferences begging Congress to save them. That's the worst part about it. I mean, the most incompetent body that we have is going to, they can't even get the stuff that they're supposed to do right. And now they're going to get college sports right. What are we talking about? It's frustrating. Baseball better win 2 out of 3 at minimum at Carolina, or we might be having the uncomfortable conversations again. Can't go on an emotional tumble after losing the Tennessee series. Got to go get 2. You have to. You absolutely have to. Thoughts on the amount of money BYU is reportedly spending on basketball? Good for them. Good on them. I don't quite understand it, but they want to win. Draft thoughts for the state of Mississippi. We'll do a lot of draft next week. We'll do a lot of draft next week, and we will. I think the plan for now will be to go live the second somebody gets drafted on Thursday. So we'll just wait. Jackson Dart off the board, boom, we'll go live. That'll be the plan next Thursday, I think. This RPI hit happened to Mississippi State last year, 17-13, and no host because there were non-conference losses. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm surprised at the lack of craziness around the women's basketball state to Ole Miss transfer. How do I say this without – because there's not enough people that have true emotional investment in that sport to really make that a thing. If Keyshawn Murphy would have transferred to Ole Miss, that now you're having some craziness in response. It's not the same when it's a sport that doesn't move the needle as much as the others. What do I think is going to happen with Nico? He'll go to a lesser, a significantly worse team for much less money. And he will be a very good example of bird in the hand beats two in the bush, because it's different if you just played at an elite level or if you didn't have a deal or a contract. He had a deal worth $2.5 million a year. He threatened a holdout of the playoff game, reportedly. And then he turns around and tries to do it again. And he's trying to get $4 million out of Tennessee after not being particularly good last year. You cannot be a player that doesn't produce and then also create issues, because this is what happens to you. And it's a shame, really, because he's a talented guy, but he is clearly allowing people around him to influence him, and he shouldn't, but he's an adult. He's a professional athlete. He's got millions of dollars in the bank if he hasn't been recklessly spending it. So this is what happens when you make bad decisions. Welcome to the real world. Welcome to adulthood. Welcome to professional life, young man. And yeah, UCLA feels right, man. I mean, I guess he has tanked his career. He will have a stigma about him. If he ends up being good enough to make it to the NFL, there's going to be a lot of questions about him. Why was your team so happy that you transferred? Why were they so okay with telling you to kick rocks once you made things difficult? Why were you not a leader in that situation? Why are you letting people around you make decisions for you? Stuff like that. I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions. The quarterback position is a hell of a lot more, as you guys know, than just throwing a football or running fast. That there's a lot more to it. And if you're not a leader, if you're not somebody that they can trust, then there's going to be issues. So, I mean, it's the intangible stuff that's keeping – not keeping, but that's a big selling point for Jackson Dart. I mean, he's got an NFL skill set for sure, but the other stuff, I promise you, has impressed teams. Whoever drafted him in the first round, I promise, has also really loved he was the guy that helped build the team. He was the recruiter. He was all of those things. It didn't go perfectly for him when he first got to Ole Miss. Things were weird at first. The Sanders thing, he handled beautifully, and on and on and on. So that's good. That's a big selling point for Jackson, and that's part of the reason why he's going to go in the first round. It's going to be the opposite for Nico. And, you know, decisions have consequences. I'm curious to see if this becomes a trend, if more teams are more willing to allow the public to understand this. People keep making the Quinshon Judkins comparison. Ole Miss did not fight that publicly. In hindsight, they should have. We've talked about that on here, and we did it on the show yesterday as well. Ole Miss didn't fight that publicly. In hindsight, they should have. If they would have fought it publicly, at least from a perception perspective, Ole Miss would have been praised. Hold on, he threatened to hold out during the season? The week of a game? Won't sign jerseys for sick children without compensation? What? That's insane. That would have been the reaction from people, but Ole Miss tried to keep it quiet because they didn't want him to go. They weren't over it until they were over it, right? But if that stuff would have leaked at the time, perception would have been heavily in Ole Miss's favor during the Judkins thing, but they dealt with that privately. So those kind of things won't be dealt privately anymore because of what Tennessee did. I don't think, anyway. We'll just have to wait and see. But anyway, I got to run, guys. I appreciate you. I appreciate you very much. Sorry for being late tonight, but it's just unavoidable things. And we will be back Thursday, regular time. Knock on wood. So I'll see y'all then. Appreciate you. And I'll talk to you guys on Thursday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.